to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time. It is my privilege to welcome to the Mobile Pro Podcast booth floor crew number two, numero dos. I'm going to have the crew introduce themselves, starting with the crew leader.
Hi, my name is Garland Peabody, and I'm from San Jose, California.
I'm Brody Weilman from Washington, Illinois.
And we're down one crew member. He's not feeling well right now. And so maybe we will include David in our conversation. But it's great to have a veteran and a newbie, some guys who actually did four floors today. They were scheduled to do three. Actually two, and then take a lunch break, and then do their third. They did all four before taking a lunch break because they're just that kind of guy. They're really gracious and generous, and they didn't want to disappoint the lady of the house who was waiting patiently through most of the morning. And so tell me about today. Tell me about the houses. Tell me about the families that you visited. And I'm just curious what your day was like.
Well, we had one of the locations was a family of seven, and we did actually two floors in their home, which had absolutely no concrete floors. It was all dirt throughout. Very gracious family. The second floor that we, after we had left that family, we did another floor, which consisted of going to the home, going up four flights of stairs to the very top of the area where they were living, and everything needed to be mixed via buckets because there was no way to do the floor.
These are outdoor stairs, right?
Yes.
It's not
yes.
Four flights within an apartment complex
No.
This is all outdoor concrete stairs.
Concrete steps straight up. And then we left, and when we finished that, we thought that we were done. And we didn't realize that the woman that was sitting there with us while we were waiting for you to come pick us up was the woman for the fourth floor. And she lived way on the outskirts of town in a really small home that consisted of just three walls and a roof and a dirt floor. But the view was so spectacular. I almost would have lived in something like that just to have the view.
It's amazing. It's hard to believe. And if you go to our website, nowisthetimeformissions.com, you can see these spectacular photos. It's so disconcerting because here, we're serving so many homes. They're on the outskirts of town. They're on the edge of this cliff. They have this spectacular view, but it's the cheapest property because of mudslides. I mean, hundreds of people, maybe even thousands every year in Guatemala lose their life, lose everything that they have because they're living in literally on the side of a mountain. And the rainy season comes, which is 5 months out of the year. It rains every day in the afternoon. And so that erosion just chips away, and they lose everything. Yet we arrive and I've told so many homes, the first house that you guys did this week, I dropped you guys off in the pickup and I told them, I said, if this property would be worth millions and millions of dollars just for the view in the U.S. I mean, just spectacular views. And so it's so ironic that these families who are living in extreme poverty yet have this multi-million dollar view. It's really incredible. So, Brody, what were your impressions of some of the families that you met today?
The main impressions I got from them, they were just average people that were, you know, like many people here in Guatemala and many people, you know, back in the States where, you know, we all live. They're just trying to do their best with what they have and what they've been given, and every single one of them have been so appreciative to us because it takes a lot for them to get something like a concrete floor if they're doing it themselves. For us to come in and do this kind of work for them, whether it's our floor crew or our stove crew, they just feel abundantly blessed, and they send as many blessings as they can our way for everything from, you know, an easy day's work to, you know, safe flight home and praying that they meet us again, you know, in the future here in Guatemala and things like that. They're just by far the most, even though they don't have much, they're the most generous people I've ever met, and they're truly the kindest. I mean, even in scenarios that I've mentioned to you, Sean, with traffic. Traffic here is
tell about that.
Interesting. And I'm from Central Illinois, and so, you know, I make my way up to Chicago, and Chicago traffic is a nightmare, to say the least.
Amen.
And you know, there's honking and some swearing and just, you know, angry people all the time, you know, yelling at each other, get out of my way. And, you know, I'm driving here, I'm walking here, you know. But people here in Guatemala, you know, their kindness even shows in their driving, which is, you know, hilarious. You know, there's a big truck in the way, or there's, you know, a car coming this way, and, you know, one person will stop and give them a little honk and, you know, give them a little wave to come on by. And it's just coming from, you know, a place where I've been in big cities where, you know, people aren't always as kind. It's just amazing the kindness that people share here to complete strangers like us, to, you know, other people, you know, even people that they don't even know, you know, walking down the road. Something as simple as, you know, saying, hola, ¿cómo estás? To them, you know, when back in the States, if I would walk up past somebody and say, hey, how you doing? They might just kind of shrug it off and, you know, think I was crazy.
Yeah, it's so true.
The streets here are so small that when a car parks on the street, there is no way for two cars to pass. I mean, you literally, and it's like there's like a given 25-mile-an-hour speed limit. It's like everybody just takes their time and they drive that speed limit. And if you have to pass, if you have to go around a car that's parked, a lot of times you do have to wait. And the motorcycles are cutting in and out, and tuk-tuks are cutting in and out. So cars or trucks really don't have as much space.
They don't, and it's amazing to me. You're right. There's many, especially in these villages, there's many places where two cars can't pass. And we have a mid-sized pickup. It's not the big one. It's not a tiny one. It's on the bigger side. I mean, we can fit six gringos, you know, three up front, three in the back.
Many Guatemalans?
Eight. Nine. So it's a bigger vehicle, and, you know, most of the vehicles here are the smaller pickups you've seen, you know, the work trucks and stuff. And so there will be many times where I can't pass, and somebody will see that. They'll go knock on a door. Somebody come running out. He'll move the truck, you know, and it's just, and they're giving me the, I'm sorry, you know, wave, like, I'm sorry, I'll move right now. And without anybody saying anything, you know, I'm just expecting, all right, I have to back up a half mile and figure out another way. And sure enough, they will, very, very accommodating. Like today, that I was trying to get back to see you guys, to pick you guys up. And, you know, there was that lettuce farm, right? And all these workers in this giant truck, and they were packing this. And he was parked on the side of the road, and I couldn't pass. And the boss came out, and he's waving at me like, just a minute. He screams. The driver comes scrambling out of the field, and he hops in the truck, and he goes, go forward, a little farther. And I, you know, I thought he was kind of hard on the driver, but then the driver, you know, after he got out, and he gave me a wave like, you know, sorry, you know, you come. And now he's directing traffic. Now he's like, come on, you can make it, you know. So it is. It's a different culture for sure. Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I just find completely amazing is a lot of the bus services, so to say, around here, you know, they don't have a main bus service that is commissioned by the government to do this or that. But they have these guys that have these old school buses that they trick out, and it's got, you know, chrome stuff everywhere and cool designs on the inside and a bunch of cool stuff. I mean, I consider myself a fairly good driver, but wow, I mean, these guys blow me out of the water. They're, you know, two giant buses passing within, you know, 3 inches of each other. And
it's true.
These cobblestone roads, and you know, they're sitting there doing, like, 6-point turns and flipping around, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I couldn't even imagine.
And there's dogs and people and kids. Like, everybody's in the street.
Oh, yeah.
They're missing all it. Motorcycles, bicycles, you know.
And every bus driver has their own, I'm not sure what they're
spotter,
called. Spotter. Spotter.
Ayudante, their helper.
Ayudante, yeah, their helper who gets out to help them back up when they need to back up to turn around.
Yeah. Yeah, and those guys are experts, too. They're like, no, you can make it. Yeah, I'm thinking, he's not going to make it. And they make it every time. I've never seen a bus crash into anything.
All the crazy, hectic car driving and motorcycle and bus and everything I've seen this week, I immediately, when I got here, I was like, oh, I'm sure I'm going to see a couple people on the side of the road yelling and screaming. You know, they bumped into each other. I have yet to even see a close call by any means here. I mean, it's amazing.
It is amazing. So tell me about the concrete floors. Brody, you signed up. Yeah, he's stretching out his back a little right now. It was a long day. You told me that, you know, you signed up on the registration form. We asked, what do you prefer and what are you interested in? And you said you put stoves and floors and kind of whatever, however we could use you. And you're a hulk of a guy. You're a big guy. And you said you were kind of secretly hoping for floors. Are you still feeling like that's what you wanted, or and if so, tell me why you were interested in that.
I mean, my career is as a mechanic, so I enjoy, you know, like I say, I enjoy hard work and low pay. But you know, here I consider it, you know, hard work and high pay on your soul. But yeah. I mean, I enjoy doing, you know, physical work, and I'm 22 years old, so I figure, you know, I'd try to keep some of the more seasoned gentlemen, you know, try to pick up some more slack for them.
So are you looking in this direction? Are you looking over on this side of the table?
I mean, Garland, I tell you what, he is 62, right? 62, but man, he is out there kicking butt and taking names.
Right?
I mean, I'm truly amazed. But yeah, I wanted to do the floor crew because, I mean, first off, I figured that not everybody goes there thinking, I want to go pour concrete for a week.
Yeah. We don't pour concrete.
I'm sorry, yeah, I don't want to go stir and mix and shovel and bucket it up to a house 20 feet away. And
you're right.
But yeah, I signed up and, you know, I had kind of one of those, I have different talents that I could see you guys using me for and, you know, each crew. But I kind of just let you guys and let God kind of direct my path of, you know, what you guys and what he wanted me doing that week. And although, you know, shoulders are a little bit sore, I don't regret it one bit. And it's truly amazing the people that you meet there. And there's a couple guys that we meet. We have helpers with our floor crew. So there's the three of us that are working, and then there's two guys that are
Mason's helper. Yeah.
And one guy we had today, what was his name?
The Mason or the helper?
The Mason.
Fausto or
Fausto has been with us every day, and yeah, I wish I could speak English or speak Spanish, or he could speak English, because man, he seems like a cool guy.
He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah. But There was another one that started with us today. It was his first day with us. And, you know, the kid, I mean, he looked, what, maybe 17 years old?
He was probably 20-something.
I think so.
Probably 20-something, but he was still...
Yeah, still fairly young. And he's sitting there just, you know, going to town and
smoothing
everything out. And, you know, we're sitting there, we're like, oh, we're not going to have enough concrete for this. And he goes over and looks at it, and he's like, It'll be close, you know. We can do this, and you know, by golly, you know, we came within having a foot of it done, and we unfortunately ran out of supplies.
That was our last floor.
Yeah, that was the last floor. But the other gentleman, for what was it?
That's actually the first floor I think I've ever done here where I didn't have enough materials to actually finish the floor.
Yeah. And
it was only a small little one-foot section. One little.
I can't remember, honestly, years and years, I can't remember not having enough material. But, I mean, the majority of the floor was done. You were trying to remember the name of a mason or somebody else?
Our helper that's been helping us. We actually got to meet his kids this morning, which was...
Fausto.
No.
We're not sure his name exactly.
Anyways,
yeah. We'll call him Fausto. Fausto. We know who we're talking about. Fausto.
My amigo. That's what I call him. Okay. But, yeah, we got to meet his kids today, which was, you know, really cool. Working with him every day, I mean, he is, you know, he puts me to shame. I like to think that, you know, I work my hardest, but my goodness, he just, you know, goes to town and he, you know, is probably half of me, if that. I mean, he's
a small guy.
Yeah, I've probably got a foot on him or more, and, you know, he probably weighs 125 pounds, and he's just going crazy and doing his thing, and yeah, nonstop. I mean, it's absolutely insane. But you know, even though there's that language barrier there between me and him, you know, we still have found ways of communicating and, you know, having fun and stuff, just like other people do. You know, when they go to work, he rides a little motorized dirt bike kind of deal, and you know, I have a motorcycle, and so I kind of explained to him a little bit and showed him a picture, and, you know, so he's, oh, yeah, yeah, vroom, vroom. So, you know, we'll be sitting there. Today we were walking next to each other carrying our wheelbarrows to the next site, and he looks at me and he goes, vroom, 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 vroom. And then he starts running with it. I mean, just, you know.
Even you guys race wheelbarrows, did you?
He beat me. So I just walked up a hill. I was tired. Yeah, he beat me. But, you know, it was... even though there's that language barrier there, you know, it's just amazing how much you can actually communicate with, you know, the people you're working with every day and the people even at the houses that we're doing the floors for. I mean, it's just, you know, amazing that we can communicate so well with, you know, me. I know Pequeño, right?
Paquito.
Paquito. I know
Pequeño.
Paquito, Pequeño. Spanish, you know,
a little bit.
I know very, very little, and yet somehow, you know, we haven't been super stranded yet, having any issues with it.
No, you guys are really talking up a storm in Spanglish. You know, I mean, you know, Spanglish. You could really. It's amazing how much you can communicate. I mean, I've been to India twice for a month each. I still can't speak one word of Telugu, but. Was able to lead a crew, and you know, with translators and with a lot of
hand motions
and facial expressions and pointing. Yeah,
I'm glad I know numbers, like Spanish numbers, because you know, there's so many times where we're talking about the rocks or the sand or the concrete bags, and I'm just glad I know, you know, uno, dos, tres.
Garland, you've this is your what, fourth year?
Fourth year.
Here, you've done stoves up until this year.
My first year here, I did floors.
You did do floors.
Yeah, I did floors the first year.
This is your first year leading.
I told myself I never wanted to do that again. And I've done floors for 2 weeks this year.
So this is your first year leading floors.
Yes.
And that's a different role for you. And it's the first time you've done 2 weeks in a row. So that's new for you as well. And I got to tell you, you're looking pretty good for 2 weeks of floors, and at the end of a long day with four floors. Tell me if there's any difference in the perspective from a floor crew than from a stove crew.
I think both of them have their purpose. I mean, the stove crew, you have multiple people. There's a little bit of a time lapse with a stove crew where everybody's trying to do certain portions of the stove, and you try to sit back and let each person have an opportunity to be able to help build the stove, you know, to cut the hole, to be able to stick the pipe up. With a floor crew, once you get ready to start, it's nonstop till you finish. I mean, there's really not a point where you get a chance to just sit back and...
Now, we get about a minute and a half when we pour the water on for the first time.
Right, to let the concrete set for a few minutes. And usually it's about 5 minutes or so. They want the concrete to just kind of soak in and get ready. But actually, I think I'm preferring floors only because you're just busy. Mm. You're just busy. I mean, it is a workout. I find it, you know, invigorating. I find myself really tired. I mean, I try not to fall asleep, you know, when you're talking after we're all done. And
he's talking about evening worship and some of the housekeeping you have to take care of afterwards.
Yeah, you know, I find myself, you know, catching myself trying to nod a little bit sometimes. But overall, you know, I've found that, you know, God has truly blessed me, you know, these last 2 weeks, and it's been wonderful.
Was Pastor Stewart great
people?
As Pastor Stewart told me, because I said, you know, I don't remember anybody doing 2 weeks of floors. And he said, yeah, but Garland's a beast. And, you know, Garland works with Stewart at school every day. And so he said, yeah, but he's a beast. I mean, he's not a normal person. I said, okay.
All right. Might have a little bit of Guatemalan in you.
I don't know about that. I'm one of those people that sometimes it's easier to get things done than it is to try to figure out who needs to get it done. You know, I've always been that way.
Mm.
I just like doing.
Mm-hmm.
My gift is helps, you know, and I'll help in a heartbeat.
Well, there's helping, and then there's brutal physical labor. I mean, I was with you guys, you know, I shot this thank you video for, you know, someone who sponsored a floor. So I was out there with you guys this morning, and I mean, you guys really go at it. I mean, it is heavy lifting, hard work. And when you say nonstop, I mean, it's kind of nonstop. Like, you turn the burners on, and it's nonstop for at least an hour.
Right.
Without breaks. Because, you know, once that concrete gets wet, now you've got the clock's ticking as to how long you have to before it starts setting, and you can't really smooth it out the way you need to smooth it. So you really need to keep going. But I mean, you guys really go at it. And I've done floors before, but you guys, and you're right, Fausto's kind of setting that tempo, and he's really,
we're trying to play keep up.
He's like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, he really is. But it is, I mean, there's helping, and then there's this, which is a whole nother level for sure. You know, so many times we do get, you know, our conversation is centered around the projects themselves, and sometimes the kids get lost in the middle of all that. Tell me about the kids. Tell me about the families. Tell me about what's really touched your heart this week.
Today was fun. The first floors that we did, after we were done and while everybody was trying to clean up and stuff, I got to play basketball with the three youngest. Mm-hmm. And basketball consisted of a wooden ladder leaning up against the side of the building, and the top rung of the ladder was the hoop.
Mm.
And so we were shooting hoop this afternoon. There was two boys and the young girl, and it was so much fun. I mean, they were really getting into it, and they're just throwing these balls, and it's just going everywhere. And you know, and every now and then one of them will actually go into the hoop and drop down. But the kids are just, I mean, they're all over you. They just want to enjoy you. They want to just be part of you. They want to love on you, and they want to be loved. Mm-hmm. They're just great. So that was really a lot of fun today. It was.
there was a daughter there, one of the younger girls, and she was, I don't know, maybe 10, 11 years old, and she had, I think, was somewhere else and just got to the house or something like that, or just, I don't know, woke up or something, and we're over there, you know, shoveling away and you know, getting all hot and sweaty, and you know, to a little girl, I'm sure, you know, a big guy like me, and I'm a foot taller than most Guatemalans here, you know, she she looks at me and big tall guy, and you know, drenched in sweat and everything, and she just comes up and sticks her arms out, and she gives me a big hug. She says, "Gracias," and you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is so adorable, but I feel so bad that she has to hug a big sweaty guy. But, you know, the kids are all just adorable. And like Garland said, they just want somebody to love them and want to love people, you know. And I found a common connection. And today we were with that same family, and they had their little dog. And they grab it, and Garland went over and petted it, and I went over and petted it a little bit. And I showed them a picture of my dog, Jasper. And it's Perro, right?
Perro. Uh-huh.
Perro. So I said, Miss Perro, and showed them the picture, and they're like, oh my gosh, it's huge, because he's a 90-pound dog compared to their, you know, 8-pound dog. And so they're like, oh, hold on, and they run over behind the house and bring out another dog that they had, and he's just the cutest little thing. And he looked a lot like my dog, and it actually made me, you know, miss home a little bit, you know. I promised to my parents, if you're listening to this, I miss you guys too. But, but you know, just seeing this cute little puppy reminded me of mine, and it made me miss him a lot. And you know, they saw that picture of mine, and that's why they showed me that one, because it looked like it. But yeah, that was my kind of, you know, homesick moment of the day. I mean, I don't want to go home right now by any means, but but yeah, the kids, they were awesome, you know, and you can't, you know, for me, I can't really speak to them, but even if it's, you know, some older people like our helpers with the floors that they pick up a couple words here and there of English, they can say some words and stuff, and we've actually kind of been teaching them some words and phrases when it comes to some of the little kids that don't speak a lick of English. We can still communicate, and you know, most of the time it's not anything big that they want to communicate. It's just, you know, this is my house, or this is, you know, my doll or my dog or my toy, you know,
right.
Just little things like that. But it's just amazing seeing them and just given the situations that they're put in, how much love they still have to give to us and how much love that they just want. Really,
I don't want to leave this table before you guys share how you ended up getting here, because you have very similar stories, and I want to frame the question this way. So both of you had told me for years, I'm going to do that someday. No, I'm coming. Sean, I'm coming someday. And I think I said probably to both of you, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, I heard that last year. Yeah, I've heard that before. I made a video. It's on our website. Now is the time for missions.com. It's called Someday. And it was inspired by you and others. Hundreds of people have told me, yes, someday I'm going to do that. Someday I'm going to do that. So the question is, why now? Or when you decided to come, Garland, for Brody this year, why now? And what was it that actually made you say, yes, I'm going to do this?
Well, for me and my wife, who's, you know, part of the donations team, she's a nurse. So she has to, because of the nurses union and everything going on, she has to put in her vacation every January for the whole year. And most of the time when she puts in vacations, it was based around school schedules for the boys and whatnot. But our boys are old enough now. And 4 years ago, you came to visit again. You come to visit us every year. You and Don Maurice came, and you were sitting there, and we're going over the Guatemala thing and everything else. And you were sitting there going, you know, we are really short of people for the second week, and we could really use some people. And we're sitting there and we're listening to this, and I'm just thinking, God, I wish we could go. And Nancy nudges me and she goes, I feel God is talking to me right now. And I go, what do you mean? And she goes, well, I have a full week's of vacation, a full week of vacation that week, and we're not doing anything.
That she had already put in for.
That she had already put in for, not even knowing that that was the week. And she goes, and Sean's asking for help. I really believe God's asking us to go. And so we came. And we have been here every year since. And this year we did 2 weeks, and we've already talked about doing 2 weeks, doing 2 weeks from here on out, because 1 week is just, it almost doesn't seem like it's enough.
Mm.
Just about the time you really get to understand, you're really starting to love on these people, and you feel the love from these people, and then you have to go home. And it's like, it's just wrong. So, yeah, I mean, it would just, you asked, and she goes, I put in for this for that week, for, and I have no idea why. I just figured, you know, the end of June's a great time to have a vacation, you know. And
so it was a little divine inspiration there. A little
divine intervention. Yes.
How about you, Brody?
Well, Sean, you've known me since I was, you know, like super, super small, and which is very, very long time ago for me. But, you know, I grew up with you coming to do events and stuff like that for us in Illinois. And, you know, I always had fun with at the events with you, you know, listening to you play and jumping around and, you know, doing what kids do with those kind of things. And I thought you were so awesome. And you can't repeat that to anybody. But I thought you were so awesome. And I was like, he's a cool guy. It's like, I'm going to go try to help him. And so I walked up to you, and I was maybe 12 years old, and said, hey, Sean, can I help you carry some of your stuff? And with some form of you not being sure, you were just kind of like, yeah, here, why don't you can take my guitar and carry it for me. And from there, I just kind of, you know, me and you kind of, as I grew older, we kind of just started, you know, having more conversation, you know, going away from me being a little kid to me being a young man, and just kind of me and you having conversations whenever you were around about, you know, things that I would do at church, and you would always encourage me to, you know, the Lord might be calling you to do this, so I think you should take that opportunity and run with it. And then as I kind of matured into adulthood, I play in my church's praise band, and, you know, me and you, whenever you would come to town and stuff, we would play together a little bit, you know, here and there and stuff like that. And I believe it was last time you came to my church, you were sick, right?
Could be. I honestly don't remember.
You came to my church. We were doing a
show. Oh, I couldn't sing, right?
And you couldn't sing. And, yeah. You know, I just come in. I just think it's, you know, every other day. And you come up to me and you say, Brody, listen, I need to ask you a favor.
That's right. I remember this now.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay.
You thought I was kidding.
Yeah, I did think you were kidding. Yeah. Come on. Because, I mean, I wasn't super confident with myself, and, you know, I'm not Sean Smith. I can't do this. And me and you played, and, you know, I sang and stuff, and
it was great. You were my voice for that event, yeah.
And, you know, that just kind of went along with things that you told me over the years of, you know, the Lord's calling you to do this. You know, maybe you should, you know, step up your game a little. Maybe you should take on some bigger challenges. And then when last time I saw you, when you were talking about Guatemala again, you know, I kind of thought, you know, I said when I was a little kid I was going to go there. It's like, I never really meant it as a little kid. It was just one of those crazy little kid things. But, you know, you pushed me to reach greater heights in my life, you know. And so I kind of thought to myself, well, he's always saying, you know, maybe the Lord's wanting me to do something. Maybe he's trying to get me to reach higher than I'm used to. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go to this meeting and, you know, see kind of what exactly it's all about, you know, and see if it's something that's even possible for me. And, you know, I went, and me and two other people from my church were all kind of interested in it, and we had the meeting, and I was like, okay, this isn't as bad as I thought. I was like, this is something completely feasible, and I've never left the country. You know, I've never traveled outside, and of course that's a little scary for me, and you know, my parents weren't, they were thrilled, but they, my mom at least was a little, which I am missing her birthday this week, so happy birthday, Mom, I love you. I was like, this is something I can actually do, so I decided, you know what, I'm gonna do this. So, you know, we went through and did everything and got on the plane, and I see, you know, all the Guatemalan people there, and then about a foot above everybody else, I see Sean waving at me. And
coming out of the airport.
Coming out of the airport.
Hundreds of Guatemalans.
Oh, yeah. And
one gringo.
And one gringo. And when we get back to the hotel and everything, Sean, you know, comes up and he gives me a big hug, and you give me a big hug. You say, Brody, I can't believe you're actually here. And I looked at you, and what'd I say?
I said I was coming.
So yeah, that's pretty much the story of you know, what kind of led me to be here.
So it was your earlier self, your younger self, that actually...
My younger self bit off more than I could chew at the time. And finally...
Be careful what you wish for.
Finally, the older self kind of realized, you know what? It's time to put your butt in gear. Let's go to Guatemala.
But you know, that happens so many times, not necessarily in that way, but we've had several parents just this week around this table who said the reason they're here is because of their kid, their child, you know, because the faith of a child is immense. And, you know, the children keep saying, but why can't we go? Why not? You know, why can't we help? They need our help. Why can't we? And so it doesn't surprise me at all that your former self, who had the faith of a child and was like, well, why not? Let's go, is the one that worked on your older self, who has all the reasons in the world. Well, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? Well, it was very kind words, Brody, and I'm just so honored and humbled. And I'm not surprised because I didn't think you'd keep your word. I'm surprised because you broke the mold of so many others who have gone before you, and they really want to come, but they just can't figure out how to make it happen. And when they do come, like Garland, they usually want to come back because it's something that they can do to help, and it usually makes us better because we do. So
we expect you back next year.
So thank you, Brody. Thank you thank you, Garland, for your faith. Thank you for your love for these kids. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your love of our Lord and how that inspires you to work really, really hard to be ambassadors of Christ to these families, many of them very broken, hurt families that need floors, they need stoves, but more than anything, they just need to be reminded that they are loved, they're not forgotten, and you all give that in spades. So thank you for your service to our Lord and to his children here in Guatemala, and thanks for sharing your stories on the podcast.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga, may God bless you. Vaya con Dios, go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.